Hey y'all!
Welcome to NOLA HOTS, a podcast to raise awareness about congenital heart defects and discuss resources about CHD and some other stuff.
We're just two heart mamas from New Orleans doing this for heart mamas, or dads, grandmas, aunts, friends, whoever may want to listen.
I'm Susan Oakwin.
And that's Lana Stevens. And I feel like we've got a lot to say.
We sure do. Did y'all miss us?
Welcome back, everybody.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, we took a little break for the summer. We've never done that. We were kind of overwhelmed, so we took a little hiatus. Most people probably didn't notice. That's okay.
I was about to say, did y'all notice is the question.
We still love y'all. Our feelings aren't hurt. We just had a lot going on with our kids.
But honestly, for us, it feels like it's been forever because we haven't recorded since May, but we had episodes through June. So we really just took July off.
Yeah.
But for us, it seems like it's been 6 months.
Yes.
Because it's been so
because
long.
We're used to seeing each other all the time.
Right. So we kind of, you know, when Susan walked in tonight, it was like, oh my gosh, we haven't seen each other in forever. But anyway, happy to be back. But I did want to point out that we did take a break. We have never done that in nearly 3 years. December will be three. Yeah, I know. December will be 3 years. And we have consistently put out a new episode every other week for almost 3 years. So I don't think that two full-time working mamas taking a 1 month off is too terrible. I mean, I was kind of starting to put a little guilt on myself. Like, we should have done better.
Not me, because can I just tell you that I feel like it was just me.
I know.
And we're starting school this week, and I have three high schoolers, and I have no money left in my checking account.
Same girl.
And, it's kind of scary.
Yeah, we're starting senior year. Harley did finally start driving this summer, which was a little behind.
It's a game changer.
On cardiac front, she did have an appointment this summer where she had two appointments. She had a regular checkup. Echo looked great. And then she actually had her first stress test, believe it or not, just at the end of July. So she hated it. She said she felt like a dog.
Hates that.
She said she felt like a dog in a muzzle. Yeah, but she did well. And we're happy with our report. So all is well that ends well.
Yeah, Henry got a clear check too. And we actually had an impromptu clear check because, you know, I don't even know if I told Lana this. But
we did
so too. Henry got pretty sick over the summer for almost a week. And we kept going back to the doctor. Back to, we couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. Long story short, we found out he actually had rotavirus.
I think you did.
Which I'm sharing this for all the parents out there because I have zero recollection of Dr. Collins ever telling me that Henry didn't get the rotavirus. And I'm sure he did, but like it wasn't the vaccine. Yes. So apparently you have to get that by the time your child is 8 or 12 weeks, but you
know,
it started and he was in the hospital till week 11 of life. And then it's also a live vaccine. So like the doctors, I mean, you're talking almost 15 years ago. So they were very leery of the heart defect, the surgery, the live vaccine. You know, they asked Dr. Collins to do one vaccine singly, not lump them together, you know, all this stuff. And so Henry never got the vaccine because he was too late. And so, but horrifyingly ill. He was in bed, unable to almost move.
I wonder if at the time they were kind of like, we're going to wait out, like, what's worse, him having rotavirus or him?
Well, and you know, it's always like, is the body going to reject the fake parts you put in? So then we're going to throw some kind of live vaccine. We don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I was like, whatever y'all think, because I was still living in a fog.
Yeah, totally.
But who would have known 14 years later that would have haunted
me? So does
he
get it now or no?
No, it's a one and done. Like, if you don't get it, you never get it.
You only get rotavirus once in your life?
Oh, the actual virus? I don't know. I hope never again because that was horrible. It was horrible. I have never even... He has never looked or behaved like that, even post open heart surgery. Like he could not move.
Oh, poor baby. So after that, then they did a quick checkup and make sure.
Well, our pediatrician ordered 8 million tests because she loves tests, and we did them all, and every test kept coming back negative.
Yeah.
And she's like, he's got to have something, and so we, you know, finally did the stool sample and figured it out. But, you know, for all those parents out there, you know, like as a warning or you know, a little PSA for me, be aware that if they ever get a stomach bug, it could be much more than the regular average, you know, and just kind of be aware of that. But, So then of course they sent him for the full cardiac.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
And so then we had to do all the cardiac workup and make sure, you know, he wasn't getting some kind of virus to his heart that would then lead to a whole nother problem.
But so, at the end,
all good.
All of our things.
That's right.
So good. Happy to hear that.
I digressed.
Yes. Whew. What a summer. All right, so next up, We have a big event coming this month. Susan, tell us about it. You know that Susan and her husband, Dwayne, have a foundation called the Henry Oakwin Heart Foundation. We always support it here. We had the gala in March, which was a blast. We'll be having, we'll have that again next year too. But we have a family, you have a family friendly event coming up this month.
Yes. So for the first time, we're doing a bowling tournament.
Woo!
It is August 20th from 11 to 3 at Colonial Bowling in Harahan, which is in the New Orleans area for anyone outside of New Orleans that isn't familiar. So that's a Sunday. It is a Sunday, and all the money is going to be used to go towards Heart Families. And we are also collecting toys, and other supplies for Children's Hospital in Ochsner. There's an Amazon wish list, so you can purchase them. They'll come directly to us, or you could bring them in person to the actual events.
And no, wait, let me ask you this. Can you bring other toys or only what's on that list?
No, you could bring okay. other stuff.
It like I just, approved.
Yeah, you know, they prefer nothing plush.
Right, right, right.
You know, only brand new. You can't have any kind of recycled. But some of the other things on there are, you know, toothbrushes and travel laundry detergent for parents who are having to wash while they're in the hospital.
Great idea.
Things like that. So
I think you should, I'm just giving my opinion as somebody that is not on the board of the foundation.
Are you putting your application?
No, I might be. I think that you should, every time you have an event, have some type of drive.
So we tried this last year for our city park night. And I don't know if people just didn't click. They didn't realize we didn't promote enough. So I've been trying to push it more. We have gotten some deliveries. People have bought things. But I
can
also
tell you what people do reply to. $5 off.
Right. But I do know that it's also back to school.
Yeah.
So it's a hard time, but we're trying to collect. And our plan is for around Thanksgiving to have some high school volunteers that help with the foundation.
Deliver.
Get them all. And we're going to go deliver them to the patients.
That'd be awesome.
Around between Thanksgiving and New Year's, kind of depending on the hospital's availability for us to be able to do that.
That's awesome.
So we'll be collecting toys all fall, but this is to kind of kick it off.
Yeah, and, I love that. I love
to
that.
To get back to the hospitals and
well, I have my team. We're called the Queens of Hearts.
Do you have an outfit? Like, do y'all have matching outfits?
No, and I meant to do that, but that was my plan initially. But as the, you know, the back to school schedule and calendar is getting crazier and I'm seeing, you know, we're already at the beginning of August and that is the 20th. I'm going to be out of town. My sister and I are taking a sister trip to Disney the 15th through the 17th. So I will not really be home the first week of school right before the event. And I just feel like I kind of dropped the ball. So I'm working on something else that's a little more like
a Grease Pink Ladies type bowling shirt.
Well, I think we may just somehow be in red, obviously.
I like
it. Just to make it simple for all of our team. And I might even look into getting some crowns since we're the Queens of Hearts.
Yes.
So we may have crowns and, you know.
I love a good headpiece.
I do too. Okay. So, y'all check that out. Susan, what's the website that people should go to get to that?
The link is on our Instagram. It's also on our Facebook and it's also on our webpage, henryoakwinfoundation.org. It's done through, I'm going to have a total memory freeze, but the links are on there. I was going to give you the event site. We can't use brown paper tickets because they haven't even paid us for City Park Night night. Last year, we're in a legal battle and that's a whole other thing because they went bankrupt after and they never paid us. So fun times. Yes, it's always something.
All right, so bowling. This year we're not... Okay, and so let me tell you what I love about
Inside,
yes.
So you don't have to worry about rain or sweating. Yes. God, it's been hot.
It's been so hot. How do we not start the episode talking about the heat? Because we love to talk about the heat.
I don't know.
But anyway,
it's rough.
Yeah, inside, you don't have to worry about it. It's not going to get rained out. City Park was so fun, but you always had that fear of, you know, either sweating your behind off or mosquitoes or... getting rained out. So none of that worry. Y'all join us. It's going to be fun. And if you come, please come introduce yourselves to Susan and I.
Yes,
we'd love to
please.
Meet you if we haven't already. So our first guest. It's our guest for this episode.
We don't have multiples.
So our guest tonight for this episode is, we've never had a spouse on, huh?
No.
This is our first CHD spouse, CHD husband. On episode 59 of NOLA Hots, we did have Miss Bren Thompson, who also works for Camp Encore, which is the heart camp our kids attend. And We decided to have her husband, Lane, chat with us tonight. So if you ever want to go back and listen to Bryn's story, she's episode 59. And so tonight we are interviewing Lane Thompson, who is the husband of Bryn, who is a CHD adult. And he will chat with us about kind of what his role has been as a spouse and kind of some pointers and different his experiences that he's had throughout their relationship. So let's go ahead and welcome Lane.
All right. Thank you, Lane, for joining us today. Today we have Lane Thompson, who is going to give us a different perspective today. He is a CHD spouse. So Lane, thank you for joining us today. Welcome to NOLA Hots.
Thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to it.
Tell us a little about yourself, your background, and your connection to the CHD world.
So my connection to the CHD world is primarily through my wife, and then secondarily through all of the folks I've met through her, old camp buddies and old friends and stuff. But myself, I met my wife, Bryn, when we were at CCD, which is Catholic Catechism. We were about 12 years old.
Oh, wow.
He introduced me. We sat under the statue of Mary, and that's the church that we would eventually be married at. So that was our first meeting. We weren't romantic or anything like that until well after, but we've always been buddies since about that time.
I love that story. So wait, when did y'all actually get married? So y'all met when you were 12, but when did you get married?
Got married in 2009, and we actually were one of the last couples to get married in that church. It was kind of, it was busting at the seams. It was a very small church, but it had a large congregation. So cramming all the folks into that church was starting to get very difficult. So they had begun construction on the new church when we got married, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have my timeline messed up. So I know we were not the very last, but we were one of the last couples to get married in that actual church before they switched all of the church proceedings over to the larger church.
Oh, I love the old little churches.
I know that was that we had a similar experience. We got married in old St. Francis and, you know, knowing that they were building the newer one. But that was the one I grew up in. So that one meant a lot to me. So I like that. I like that you have a little background. Now, since we're talking about going back that far, were you aware of her CHD at 12 years old?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you understand what it was at 12?
No, not at all. So probably not at that meeting. I don't remember her telling me she had a heart condition at that meeting.
Okay.
But I know that we would subsequently go on to go to high school together. Oddly enough, she made a bunch of friends independent from me that I had made when I went to elementary school in Ponchatoula. So we both like kind of had made these friends, but we didn't know that we both shared the same friends group. When high school started, she went from her school to Ponchatoula High, and then I went from my school to Ponchatoula High, where I was reunited with all of my St. Joe friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, by the way, we made a friend named Bryn. And I was like, I already know her. So it was, we were always buddies, and it was sometime in high school that I learned about her condition and kind of what it was. And as a friend, I understood it through a series of blunders, you know, where the first I'd heard of is one of my other friends was like, I think that she's got like a heart condition, and they were uninformed about it too. I remember somebody telling me, oh, she can't eat sushi. So don't. So at some point or another, we were deciding where to eat as a group of friends. Like, where do you guys want to go out and eat? And I remember feeling protective just as a friend. I'd be like, wait, we can't eat sushi. And I remember her getting so mad at me because I was speaking for her. And like, I didn't understand it at the time, of course, because, you know, the further back you go, the dumber I am. But I was like, you know, she wants to own those choices and those,
right.
You know, and a lot of times she wants to pretend she doesn't have a heart condition.
Well, yes. Don't I know that? A lot of times our kids do as well. So that's totally normal.
Yes.
Okay. So fast forward, y'all get married. As you're getting serious, obviously, that becomes more of a conversation, I'm sure, between the two of you.
Absolutely. Now, in college, as we were becoming closer friends, because, you know, after high school, lots of people move away. Some bonds get stronger, some bonds get weaker. she was one of those bonds that just got stronger. The more we got to know each other, the more we kind of like appreciated each other's company, even before we were romantic at all. Uh-huh. And I remember just hearing her talk about friends and friends that have passed away and friends that have are going through things. And so that's when I really began to understand just what exactly did she go through. In high school, it was just it was a heart condition. And that's all I knew. I didn't know what CHD was. I didn't know what transposition of the greater vessels was. I didn't know what that meant for her. But I remember she bottom lined it for me one night on a phone call where she's like, you know, they told me I'm not going to live past 40. That's my life expectancy is 40. And that's when I really like realized like, oh God, like this is a thing that's, you know, cutting her life essentially in half,
mm-hmm.
you know, which was extremely, you know, I felt for her for that. And, you know, I was aware of the seriousness of it. But the first time I really understood her condition was after we had gotten engaged. And I went to my first doctor's appointment with her, where they explained to me, like, transposition 101, mustard procedure 101. And, you know, it got more scary because we were becoming a lot more serious. But it was interesting. And it was like, okay, well, here's what she's had to deal with her whole life. It's like listening to this stuff. She lives with this. I'm just kind of adopting it.
Yeah.
Information, at least.
Wow. Go ahead.
Okay. I don't know if I was going to cut her out, but,
I just wanted to say, and I'm going to cut this part out right now before we forget, we only have about 40 minutes and I'm not rushing you at all. I don't want it to cut you off. Okay.
Yeah.
So if I start to wave you down, it's because when I do this, we have like 5 minutes left. Okay. That's what I'm going to do.
So let me ask you, you know, so in our previous interview with Bryn, and I wish I knew what episode she was.
So Bryn, for those that are listening, we interviewed her a while back. She was in episode 59. I just checked.
Okay.
Episode 59. And she, works for Camp Encore, which is the heart camp that both Susan and I's kids go to. And, she's been a huge, huge part of that and just a wonderful piece for that camp to have. And, she was also a camper. So, you know, if you go back to listen to episode 59, you can get a little bit more backstory. And she does talk about Elaine a little bit in her podcast. I mean, in her episode. Yeah. But we wanted to take it from this side.
So one of the things we talked about was when y'all got to the point where y'all decided to have kids, which is a big deal for females with CHD because not all of them are able to carry their own children. And so she kind of went through that with us. And told us, you know, how it was a big deal for y'all and y'all had to kind of go back and forth through that. But from your perspective, how did you view that? You know, the idea that she wouldn't be able to have kids or it could be dangerous to her to carry y'all's kids, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, initially, when we first had the conversation, like, you know, I'm not going to be able to have kids, right? And I was like, look, I love you. Any kids that come in the future, like I will have to learn to love to adopt. I had never really considered adoption before when I was a kid, but I haven't really considered it at all. Like having kids.
Right. Right.
So at that point I was okay with no kids.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, for younger people, kids don't always appeal to everyone. And they certainly didn't to me at that time, but I was like, I'm okay with no kids. I want you to be safe. I definitely don't want you to ever be at risk. So fast forward a little bit, we're, you know, she's getting like kind of a reevaluation done.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're saying, look, a lot of these predictions we made when you were an infant, they're not really holding up. We're looking at your data. We're looking at where we thought your heart would be at this point and where it is. We're looking at effectiveness of new medication. We had these fears back then. And we need to reevaluate because so much has changed since then. And you're just clearly doing way better than what we thought. So they do a big reeval appointment where they do a stress test and they do echo and they do all this other stuff. And she's seen by several different doctors. And that's when they told us for the first time that, you know, you're looking good. The growth we thought was going to happen, it ain't happening. It's happening on such a small scale that, although that was our primary concern 20 something years ago, that's not a concern anymore.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There's so much that's changed medically and so much that they just can't see the future of how one particular patient will turn out.
And tech changes so fast.
Yeah.
You anticipate it. So when they first told her that, she's like, okay, well, like, what does that change bottom line? And like, okay, for one, we think we can get you to a ripe old age. Okay. Number two, we used to tell you, remember, can't have kids. If you do, you're going to be at extremely high risk, risk of death, child's risk of death, stuff we want to avoid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I remember Dr. Young said this, and I remember the way he phrased it. He said, look, the best thing for me as your doctor is that you don't have kids, right? Because then I don't have to worry about it. It's not the risk it used to be.
Yeah.
And if you feel like you need to have children to fulfill your life, it wouldn't even be the hardest thing we do that day. Not even close.
Yeah. Things have
changed. Certainly there's some risk, but it's not what we used to think. If you want to have children, you can and you should. And that's exactly what he said.
Yeah.
So at that point, I'd not even considered it because it was just something that wasn't going to happen.
Right.
I was content to live without. After he said that, that's when we really started thinking. It would be years before we actually decided that life was getting too boring.
Uh-huh.
and that was even years later when they're still maintaining. You look good. You look healthy. We don't have anyone with your particular collection of issues that has ever lived this long because things didn't go so well for them. It was a earlier time, the medicine wasn't as good, the tech wasn't as good. So that decision, we waffled back and forth. And ultimately, we had decided after having an exchange student to adopt. That exchange student taught me in particular that I can really love a kid that's not my biological kid.
Mm-hmm.
And that information brought me into, okay, let's go for it, let's adopt. Mm-hmm. We were about to go to an adoption class when Bryn found out she was pregnant.
Yeah. And from what I remember from our conversations with her, it was a, hey, we're pregnant. Surprise.
It was definitely a surprise. It was
That's
not
awesome.
Anticipated.
And it was all on his plan.
Yep.
So that's awesome. And y'all have two kids, correct? Both heart healthy.
Both are healthy. Both are without any type of, congenital heart defect of any kind. Nolan has had some issues, but they're completely unrelated. And it's nothing serious. Dealt with already.
And she did okay during her pregnancies
yeah.
and her delivery. And
was a champ on her pregnancies. And when I say she was a champ, like this is coming from the male perspective, right?
Right.
About long, difficult labors, right? I've heard from her mom, like, oh man, I was there for 16 hours. And I'm like, oh God, with Brent, it was like 3 hours a piece.
Wow.
I think Kara was 3 hours. Nolan may have been a little less or a little more. I know Kara was, like content to just sit in there and hang out. And the doctors were like, all right, with your condition. There was a lot of stuff during the pregnancy that I think was atypical for a normal pregnancy, but typical for Brent.
Right.
And part of that was just little decisions like, okay, in a normal, healthy person, the baby can stay in as long as they want. But for you, if they're not doing anything in there, then they need to come out. You know, so Kara had come to term and mm-hmm. she was just hanging out, not growing, not really, you know, just staying the same size. It was like, all right, there's really no benefit of her being in there. We're going to go ahead and rush her out. So they induced labor and that was lightning. It was like 3 hours, but it didn't seem like it because there are people coming in and out, taking measurements, looking at this. Like before you know it, she was just out and I'm holding my daughter for the first time and just being completely in awe at how little complications there were. There was nothing. And I know that's an ideal scenario. I know not everybody's going to experience that, but all that worry and fear and anxiety, it just never presented itself.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
And it gives people hope, right? Because there is that, you know, like Harley, like
yeah.
is she going to be able to carry her own kids? Is it going to be hard for her? You know, and everybody's body's different, but it's always good to hear stories to know that, you know, it has become a reality and a possibility.
Well,
for
especially, you know, not to, Brent is certainly not old, but like when you think about my daughter who's a teenager, yeah, that it might be something that to where we're like, okay, maybe that's in your future. But if it's already happening and it already has happened, that's even more so what the next 10, 20 years are going to look like.
Right.
Or more promising. So would you say that the aspect of having kids was really the biggest part of, you know, kind of, I don't know, I guess you could say that the challenge of a CHD in spouse. A marriage, a spouse, or what are kind of your thoughts on having a spouse with a CHD?
So oddly enough, I don't find that her CHD affected childbirth. I mean, there were a lot of risks and things, right? There was a lot of like, we're going to do this more often than we normally would. Uh-huh. We're going to do tests that we normally would. We're going to do echoes more often than we normally would to measure all this stuff. But all of those tests and all of those procedures ended up showing like kind of the best case scenario, like, all right, everything looks good. They're monitoring because of what could go wrong and what is possible.
Right, right.
As far as like the biggest impact, I think for me with being married to someone with CHD is the surgeries, you know, the looking towards the future, watching and listening to her deal with, you know, the news that friends have passed away. And then mm-hmm. that, you know, like sometimes it seems like, yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like sometimes we just straight forget about it. We
yeah.
forget until something happens. And usually it's happening to someone else. But, you know, lately she's had some episodes where she's gone into, and we thought it was AFib, but they corrected us and said, well, it's not AFib, it's a flutter, and we've got to get her out of that. And the flutter affects her daily sleep patterns, her heart. So I got really scared a couple weeks ago. We were in Europe. We had been planning this European vacation to visit the exchange student that we, you know, had in 2015 that inspired us to kind of have Kara. During that trip, a million miles away from all of her healthcare, she's going to bed, and I just hear.
Wow. So much so that you can hear it.
Hear it. And I'm not even, like, snuggled up against her or anything. I just hear it, and I'm like, what in God's name is that? That's like a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a little bit closer to her, and then I feel it. It's like, just like quaking against me and
she's sleeping, you said?
Yeah, she's sleeping.
Wow.
So, you know, in the morning, the first thing she said when she woke up is like, okay, I need to tell you this because I know you're going to freak out because you always do, but I think I've gone back into AFib. And I'm like, yeah, I thought that I heard something like that last night. She's like, you could hear it. I was like, I could wow. hear it. I could feel it.
I know.
It's so scary.
It's so scary, especially if you've never experienced it before.
Yeah, never experienced before, and then experiencing it a million miles away.
Right, in another country, correct.
In Volde, Germany. So okay. There's not even a hospital in Volde. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a doctor.
That's scary.
It's the smallest small town you could ever imagine. There's nothing but corn and cows. That's scary. And I'm like, you need to send your doctors the info immediately. But I mean, that's another thing. Like nowadays, her pacemaker can communicate with her smartwatch. Her smartwatch can take her pulse and measure her heart rate.
Wow. She's got a device. Isn't that amazing?
Oh my God. It's incredible that they have so much access
yeah.
to what's going on there.
Right.
When her doctor's nursing staff gets up in the morning, they read her upload instead of the paper. You know, it's like that's how much access they have. They can tell if she was awake at night. They could tell she got up to get a glass of water.
I mean, thank God for things like that, for her to be monitored that far away in Germany. That's incredible.
Over Wi-Fi, so she sent them the message. Now, they didn't get back to her for a while. But when they did, they were like, okay, don't panic or anything. It's not going to hurt you in the short term, but we definitely don't want to
see you when you come back. Yeah.
We want to get you out of there as soon as possible because it's not something you want to have long term. So, I mean, that's where we are right now. There's also an issue with Bryn's condition where in New Orleans, at Ochsner New Orleans, she grew up with them. Mm-hmm. Those doctors know her. When doctors got old and retired, they were well on their way to having already introduced her for years to the next doctor that would follow her. She's been with Dr. Young for as long as I can remember. Dr. Abhi Sambra is still, he's the one that put in her last pacemaker in January, February, something like that. It wasn't long ago. So they know her condition. She's rare. They don't have a lot of mustard procedure. You know, everybody born after her birthday pretty much got the aortal switch. She has mustard procedures performed by John Ochsner himself.
Right.
I remember I'd never heard of that until she told me about it. Because that's what my son had, his transposition.
I know, but remember that other girl that was the heart transplant girl, Haley? She also had the mustard.
But I'd never heard of that before we started doing this.
Well, people older than Bryn had mustard.
Had it, yeah.
And didn't live that long because they were just born in the wrong time.
Right.
Far enough, people born with that don't survive. The later it goes, the better your chances. So Bryn, has been really lucky to have such a familiar group with her case. But when she goes outside of New Orleans, they're scared to death.
Yeah.
They're scared to fool with it. They don't know what it is. They don't know what to do. Doctors that are professionals that have been working with hearts their whole life have never seen a heart like that. Mm-hmm. And they're afraid to fool with it. So we just had a...
Y'all just can never leave. Y'all have to stay here
forever.
You're
stuck with us forever.
Forever and ever.
That's actually like a pretty big impact on us.
Yeah.
Because I'm in a job right now that I absolutely love. Like teaching art at the school that I teach at is like a dream come true.
Right.
Bryn is in a place right now where she's pretty happy. But it's been difficult at times for Bryn. She's in a position where she loves the work, but some other outside aspect is keeping her from doing it. She's been back and forth between whether or not she wants to serve the deaf community. She's an avid speaker or signer. And, her being limited to sticking close to New Orleans has definitely affected,
Your whole family, for sure.
For sure. So it's, that's a big effect. Where you work is part of your daily life. And if you're limited to being, close to New Orleans, I mean, like, so she was going to have, they were going to pace her out of it, right? So when she goes into the flutter is what they're calling it now, but I always thought it was AFib, and they called it AFib before, but now she's the same thing, but guess what? It was never supposed to be AFib. It was always a flutter. Okay,
go with it.
But they, last time they took her out of it, they just paced her out of it. They took a machine. And they just got it to, he explained it, it's like a dog chasing its tail. You just like keep trying to follow that rhythm until it matches, and then boom, they're synchronized again, right? So when you do that, there's a slight risk of stroke. If there's any kind of clot and you switch up the beat of the heart, you can send that clot loose. So it's the better procedure to perform a tracheal echo to check for any kind of clots. And if there's no clots, then proceed.
And go, right.
That's the least invasive procedure that they can do. There's a plan B and a plan C and a plan D, but each one gets more invasive and more
scarier, right.
For sure.
Yeah.
So if they can just get their machine to talk to the pacemaker, that's ideal. So none of the techs in Baton Rouge wanted to perform the TEE because they'd never seen a heart like that before and they were afraid to fool with it. And they literally told her and her pacemaker doctor, Abhi Sambra, they're like, we don't feel comfortable doing this. We don't see hearts like this. So she's like,
better to do that than try to learn on her.
Or that they gave her, they said, we could either perform the non-invasive procedure right now. We can try to get that machine to correct it just with the pacemaker without doing the TEE. There's slight risk of stroke. Or we could reschedule you to go into New Orleans where they feel comfortable doing it next week.
What you're going to have to do.
I'm going to sit in this for another week. So like, what would your procedure be if I did have a stroke while I'm here? And he's like, oh, you wouldn't have it while you're here. You would have it 24 to 48 hours later. And she's like, when I'm at home with my kids, and there's no doctors around and the closest doctors to us don't feel comfortable fooling
them. Yeah, no thanks. I'll wait a week.
And when they told it to me over the phone, because they do a pretty good job of keeping me in the loop when I can't make those appointments. I go over my days every year. If it's not Bryn, it's Kara.
The kids.
Or it's me. The four of us, I need 20 sick days a year. Absurd. So I take a pay cut every year taking kids and adults to the doctor.
God bless you. Oh my gosh.
So that affects my daily life.
Yeah, right. Well, that's true though. I mean, these are all good things to point out. Like, and I mean, I think that we as parents always think like, oh, well, you know, so many people have to go out of town for care. And we always discuss that, but we don't think about when you are the patient and having to have to set up your life, your job, your whole career and everything has to be close to that doctor so that you can get there for quick things, you know?
9 times out of 10, Bryn can't drive after procedures, even the maintenance procedures, right. Even just put a cath up and take a look around and make sure there's a lot of checking and stuff, which makes me comfortable. There's a lot of like, let's go in and look.
I'm like, bring us in all the time. Yep. I like a check. I like a clean check.
I like that because that, you know, even though like, you know, anesthesia is not the easiest thing in the world to be comfortable with, but I'm more comfortable with anesthesia than going in and not knowing what's in there.
Right.
You know, like I like that they go around and look, but that means she can't drive after. And Bryn, poor Bryn, she struggles with coming out of anesthesia. Mm-hmm. She can't use the bathroom for hours after anesthesia. And she almost always throws up. She almost always
Yeah. Yeah, Henry gets pretty
hard. It's hard, especially when your body's been through it so many times, too.
Yeah, so, like, on the way home, when we're, like, an hour and a half away from New Orleans, Bryn's groggy. She has to go to the bathroom but can't. And she's nauseated, so we have to pull over and try to find a place where she can go run into the bathroom. It's such a struggle.
You know? I can imagine.
Well, I'm sorry. Finish off. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
You know, I'm thankful that that's our struggle, you know?
Yeah, right.
That when everything goes well, the worst we have to worry about is the anesthesia wearing off.
Yeah.
That's a good day. But I know that it's not guaranteed to be like that forever, you know?
Well, I think there's something to be said about y'all's relationship having been so far back and kind of knowing, I guess you could say knowing what you're getting into, you know what I mean? Like you've known her for so long and I think that that really is quite a testament to your relationship and yourself as a husband. So congratulations and kudos to you on that. We always, and we only have a few minutes left, but we always like to ask all of our guests the same question at the very end. And if you've listened before, you know what that question is, but this, I always feel like it's testing time. That question is, do you want to ask it, Susan?
Sure. If you have one piece of advice to give to other CHD spouses, out there, what would it be?
Well, the question isn't always CHD spouses.
No, today it is. Whatever your role is. So whether you're a CHD mom, grandma, sibling, you know, actual patient, a doctor, but as a spouse of someone with CHD, what would your advice be to other spouses or significant others out there?
My advice would be, and this could double as marital advice for any problem, but we have a kind of an understanding that nobody's perfect and that everybody struggles. So early on in our marriage, I wanted her to understand that you don't have a CHD. We have a CHD. And your problems are my problems. I don't have anxiety. We have anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
And we've dealt with every problem in our marriage like that.
Yeah. You know?
Like, I don't have a problem. You don't have a problem. We share this problem. If she needs her medication, I'm Johnny on the spot. Uh-huh. If you know, anything that she needs or is supposed to do, like take her medicine on time or remember to call in her medicine or something like that, the kind of stuff I fuss at her about all the time, it's because it's not really her problem anymore. It's our problem. We entered into a marriage and a family. So we share each other's issues, and issues are easier when they're shared. You know, when I know she's got my back for anything that I come across, and she knows I have hers, it makes it a lot easier, I feel. Because down the road, things are probably going to get more difficult, you know, barring some unforeseen medical breakthrough or something. People get older, and things always get more difficult as people get older. So, you know, preparing for that is like, okay, I'm always thinking long term. I always think, and this might sound morbid, but it's really not.
No, we're morbid people. We have CHD kids. We get it.
Yeah.
Here's how I think of it. It's all about the deathbed. When you're there, what are you going to wish you had more of? Is it going to be money? Is it going to be time? I mean, almost always it's time. Mm-hmm. You know, time spent doing the things that you want to do. So our decision to have kids factored into that. It's like, okay, we could live an entire life without children, but would we regret that on the deathbed? You know, and I try to every decision I make, if I'm being smart about it, that's how I always make that decision. Should I start doing something or stop doing something? Well, on the deathbed, am I going to be happy with that choice? Because that's kind of like what I want. Best case scenario for anyone is to be on that deathbed and have no regrets.
No regrets, yep.
You know, that makes me think of the line from Steel Magnolias when Shelby tells her mom, I'd rather a few moments of something wonderful than a lifetime of nothing special. And I feel like I often think of that, you know, with Henry. Like, I try to make sure he lives life like, you know, as best as he can, because we don't know. I mean, we could have a year, we could have 40 years. Right. Like, we don't know, but I'd rather what he does have be amazing than live in this paranoia bubble, and fear and bubble that isn't enjoyable for him.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you so very much and sharing your perspective. Definitely have been a true example of in sickness and in health, I would say.
Yes, for sure.
So kudos to you and congratulations on y'all's relationship and for being such a cheerleader for your wife. As somebody with a daughter, I only hope that she finds someone that is super supportive, just like you, and walks through the whole thing when I'm no longer there to be able to do it with her.
I hope that too.
Thank you, Lane. What a great perspective.
Yeah, it was nice. I was just telling Susan, I hope that my daughter can find someone as supportive and involved in her medical care as he has seemed to be with Bryn. So, Bryn, you're a lucky lady you got there. He seems like a really great husband and great father. Lane, thank you for sharing your perspective for sure. So we're back. Like we said, we took a little break, but we're back and we are happy to hear your personal stories, whether it's you, a spouse, your kids that might have a CHD and you want to talk to us about it, please contact us either through our Instagram or Facebook, or you can email us at nolahotz@gmail.com. And if you're not following us already on social media, we're at Nola Hotz at both Instagram and again, Facebook. You can listen to us all over and you can also rate and review us. Our reviews have been really great and we appreciate everybody that takes the time to do that. So
we're looking forward to the next episode. Don't forget, no judgment here. It's all about survival.
Cheers.